Blog Talk Radio.
Life is a song worth singing.
I can tell.
Sing it. Life is a song worth singing.
Why don't you
sing it? You hold a key in the palm of your hand.
Use it.
Don't blame your life on a master plan. Change it. Only you generate the power to decide what to do with your life. You're a fool if you think you're helpless. You control what you do with your life. Life is a song worth singing.
I got you.
Sing it.
Welcome, welcome to another very exciting edition of Solar Now and the Future with its economic impact on Black America. And I'm your host, Ronald Bethay. And today's date is April the 17th, 2019. And once again, welcome to the airways of Solar Now and the Future with its economic impact on Black America. And I'm your host, Ronald Bethay. And you know, if you join us on a regular basis, you can reach us by dialing our call-in number, which is 646-668-2948. Once again, that call-in number is 646-668-2948. Now, if you join us regularly, you know after dialing that call-in number, you must press 1 on your phone pad after dialing the call-in number, because you'll be in our green room and we want to bring you right on board to our platform, Solar Now in the Future with its economic impact on Black America. Now, in joining us on a regular basis, you know that this show is always brought to you by the Positive Change Purchasing Cooperative, LLC, which is a blueprint for economic self-reliance for solar and renewable energy companies, both large and small, along with increasing market share for African-American solar installation companies to address the effects of high energy costs at our historically Black colleges and universities, our HBCUs, to utilize Black American-owned farmlands and HBCU campuses to develop capacity and initiatives for solar installation projects to bring down the unemployment and unemployment among young African American millennials locally and nationally. Also, to educate the Black community locally and nationally about the economic impacts of climate change and the need for environmental education in the Black community through Black Talk Radio programs such as Solar Now and the Future with its economic impact on Black America. It's also brought to you every week by the Black Sports Legends Foundation. BSLF HBCU Solar Radio Talk Show Initiative. Once again, that is the Black Sports Legends Foundation, BSLF HBCU Solar Radio Talk Show Initiative, and is also brought to you by Scotton Communications Network, specializing in the following areas: public relations, writing, editing, web development, web editing, magazine production, online and traditional, newspaper production, online and traditional, speech writing, book writing, editing and publishing, and Speaker Bureau Management. And for contact information, that's SCTTON, communicationsnetwork.com. Once again, that's SCOTTON, communicationsnetwork.com. Now that we've finished letting you know who brings this show to you every week, I want to listen to the audience to know that we do have a very, very I think, exciting topic for you today. And we'll be looking at the first segment of our show. We don't have a scheduled guest this week. We reached out to a number of individuals to try to get them on the platform. Mr. Mark Davis of WDC Solar, he indicated he joined us back here on the airways. We've seen not to be able to corral him up long enough to get him on the airways to talk about some of the exciting things he's doing over at WDC Solar. We've reached out to Gilbert Camel of Vogt Energy, Mr. Damian Strawn of ARS, and we hope to get some of these guys back on to talk about some of the programs and projects that their companies, African American companies, are involved in locally and nationally in the DMV market area. I mean, this is a very, very, very important piece. I want to inform my listening audience that I have had a very, very successful trip. We traveled down last week to Chester, South Carolina, with a client of ours, Mr. Richard Corley. We have been engaged in working on a large-scale solar farm project for his family, the Positive Change Purchases Cooperative. He's a client of us, and we met with city officials there in Chester, and we had a very, very successful meeting. So I'll just say to our listening audience to stay tuned to upcoming events, because I think we're going to have some very, very exciting things to announce very, very briefly. We also travel on to Salisbury, North Carolina, where we met with the vice president of Livingston University. That was Dr. State W. Alexander III, executive assistant to the president and vice president of communications and public relations there at Livingston, and as well as Mr. Pete Tigg, special assistant to the president for community development. Dr. Lillian Abrams, one of our champions in this renewable energy in infrastructure revolution. That's what I call it, a war for market share for our companies, because that's what we have to be about. We got to, can't talk it, we got to walk it. Well, she did it, accompany me and to that particular meeting in Salisbury. So we had Thursday in Chester, South Carolina. We had Friday in Salisbury, North Carolina. We were back here to the District of Columbia here on the airways of Solar Now in the Future with its economic impact on Black America today. So we want to sort of let you know that we don't talk it on this show. We sort of walk it. So we, as I said, we will hopefully have some very, very exciting news in the upcoming future on around both these projects that we've been involved in with and a large investment in time, and time is money, if you know what I mean, in the business world. So once again, welcome to the airways of Solar Now and the Future with its economic impact on Black America. You know, if you join us on a regular basis, you know we always try to bring you news that you can definitely use. Now, this is a program called the College Underserved Community Partnership Program. Now, this program is out of the Department of EPA, Environmental Protection Agency. And many of you who would like to follow us today on this topic, you can log on to our website at Positive Change, positivepitivechange.com. That's positivechangepc.com. Click on our news and events tab and you'll see the article is posted. Colleges, Underserved Community Partnership Programs. And this is a basically put out by the United States Environment Protection Agency, and it was published April 16, 2019, under our News and Events tab. On this page, it will provide you with an overview of this program. Now, the College Underserved Community Partnership Program, CUPP Cup, was created to provide a creative approach to partnering and delivering technical assistance to underserved communities from local colleges and universities. CUP enlists colleges and universities with the appropriate programs to assist these underserved communities with vital technical support through student internships and capstone projects. Students work on a range of plans and projects that help communities gain access to resources that can improve the economic future of the overall quality of life in the community. At the same time, CUP provides and receives academic credit for their efforts. The community receives vital services at no cost, and the school provides their services at no cost to the federal government. The program began with four schools in the fall of 2013-14, and in the fall of 2014, and 35 in the fall of 2015. The CUP program currently has 71 schools aligned with 64 different communities. As of June 2018, we provided over $15,560 million of support to these communities. Now, these are programs coming out of, this is a program coming out of EPA. And I was given this information by Mr. Pete Tigg while in a meeting there at Livingstone last week, and I indicated to him, matter of fact, I spoke with him on yesterday talking about this because I wanted to get someone on from EPA, but with just a short turnaround of about 24 hours, we just decided we'd go ahead and do the show. And we'd reach out to them later because our community needs to know about this information. Now, this CUP is designed to promote collaborations at all levels of government and community organization with an emphasis on community engagement and support. In addition, CUP facilitates public and private partnerships and nonprofit sector organizations. Currently, there are 71 schools in 19 states throughout the United States who have engaged in the program, completing over 120 different projects. We have agreements to work with the following organizations: the U.S. Department of Agriculture nationwide, the Department of Interior nationwide, the U.S. Department on Energy nationwide, HH Office of Public Health Region 4. In addition, we are working in relation with the following agencies: the Department of Education, U.S. EPA Region 3, 4, 5, 6, and 8, Regional Health Administration Region 6, Thriving Earth Exchange American Union, Community Engineering Corps, Georgia's Municipal Association, the Municipal Association of South Carolina, Regional Coastal Commissions of Georgia. We are working to add more collaborative partners. The top page, program objectives. The CUP works to engage colleges and universities to give students the opportunity to provide a variety of technical support to underserved communities based on identified needs. The assistance enhances the community's ability to gain access to resources needed to improve their communities forward economically, environmentally, and provide a better health outcomes. Now, I want to put a plug in that right there. Now, just looking at the objectives of this program, and I've been beating the drum around community residential pace and commercial pace. Now, if one is not familiar with this specific topic area, we've done a number of shows on commercial, and residential space. Now, we have to now go back and look at this particular program, PACE Nation, Building a Clean Energy Economy. PACE programs offer long-term private financing and renewable energy and energy efficiency upgrades to homes and businesses. PACE enables legislation is active in 36 states plus D.C., and PACE programs are now active, launched, and operating in 20 states plus Washington, D.C. Residential PACE is currently offered in California, Florida, and Missouri. Click on your state below to find the programs in your area. Now, what's very, very key to this, we're talking about legislation. We're talking about regulation, regulated states versus deregulated states. Now, when you begin to look at the color-coded boxes at below, it gives you an orange icon, active programs, funded projects. So when you look on the commercial map for commercial PACE and what PACE does, let me be very, very, very clear for our listening audience, because what we like to do, as we say on this show, we have to keep it plain, because people need to know what you're talking about. Without, as Brother Max Roach says, a whole bunch of mumbo jumbo. We want to make it plain here on Solar Now and the Future with its economic impact on Black America. Now, Property Assessed Clean Energy PACE is a government financing policy that classifies energy savings upgrades as a public benefit like sewer and water, roads, extensions, etc. Not only can this be used for the building large-scale and community solar projects and residential solar projects, this can be done for taking a commercial property and converting it. For example, one example, somebody took a warehouse and they converted it to a self-storage facility, which from one commercial use to the other, but by making the what? Upgrades, energy upgrades to the building, replacing all new windows with the heavy storm windows, commercial storm windows, commercial heating infrastructure, tightening of the envelope of the building, greener roofs, solar, replacing the roof, gutting the building, restoring the building. All of that plays and comes into play, which can be financed through private financing. This enables 100 of the hard and soft project costs to be funded by private capital and repaid via the surcharge of the property tax bill. Payback periods match the life equipment of the hardware. So you might put a solar system in and heat pumps and electrical watering, new watering upgraded pumps and heating systems for your building as a property owner, and you got, what, 20 plus years to pay this back over the lifetime of the building. Now, if you have enough square footage on that top of that building where you can put a 20 with a large commercial warehouse, where you can put a 30, a 5,000 kW system, 50 kW system, 100 kW system, that's going to give you a very decent return depending on the extracts or the renewable energy credits that are what they are selling for in that marketplace, and it varies based state to state. It's like the demand that's placed on the local utility provider by the renewable portfolio standard laws, which have to be passed in regulation in regulated states. And it determines what percentage of energy that can come from that energy source, whether it be solar, wind, biomass, or hydrogenetics, which are all a part of the renewable energy classification by the federal government. But I feel strongly that biomass needs to be moved from that category because of the incendiary burnings that are taking place in Baltimore City and the things that are going on in the state of Maryland. So, you know, you got pros and cons on everything that you're talking about. But the bottom line, I'm trying to give you an overview of the economic opportunity for the funding, capitalization of these projects, which are coming from Wall Street. They're coming from your insurance companies. They're coming from your banks because they now look at solar and wind as a stable investment commodity, and billions of dollars of your retirement monies are going to be invested in this renewable energy infrastructure come into a place near you. And all you got to do is look up and see the speed camera and look like it's got a little a flat wing there. You'll see that's a solar panel sitting there that's powering a camera at that speed trap. Well, welcome to technology and solar energy. As we said, solar now and the future with its economic impact on Black America, because if it's powering that ticket, that camera, and you run through that ticket, bam, you get yours in the mail via solar energy. So you can see how the technology is being used on a day-to-day basis. You understand? Every day we walk around, we look up, we see it. The technology is here. We're not talking about something that's going to happen. We're talking about things that are happening right in front of our eyes today, young folk, and they need a tremendous amount of people trained in this market area. And this program, this commercial PACE program, will tie directly into the CUP program. That is why I wanted to talk about this specific programs, because there, if you go to our website, you will discover that we have already put into our objectives through our cooperative for our HBCU to work in public-private partnerships with local solar development companies to develop workforce development training programs to train our young people in PV installation, become PV installers. Just last week, we had the director, Dr. Hughes from the head of employment services here in Washington, D.C., as our guest on this platform, talking about the D.C. Infrastructure Academy, which we will definitely have someone back on. But because this program is offered in Washington, D.C., it does not mean that it cannot be offered around the nation via our HBCUs with the type of training programs that we are having that are being implemented right here in Washington, D.C. to train African Americans, can be training African Americans online through our HBCU campuses, through the North American Board of Electric Practitioners certification courses that they can offer via summer school to our students who reside in those communities, who a lot of them aren't able to travel home during the summer months. This opened up huge opportunities for our universities to go after these funding to implement workforce development training programs in the solar renewable energy area, to look at cybersecurity to look at drone technology and to look at artificial intelligence and 5G technologies, which all tie in right back into the energy industry. So by no stretch of the imagination are we talking about things that are not relevant now, but they're also going to be relevant in the future, because this is where everything is moving. We need electricians right now to be trained how to wire the electric infrastructure charging stations that are going to be implemented all over the nation. They don't have enough electricians to do these, to do the work. And this is what's keeping the electric vehicle out of the marketplace. You got to have the electric vehicle infrastructure along the highways so people don't suffer from something called range and anxiety. That's why they're not buying these electric vehicles. That's what's going to put the 30 million vehicles in the marketplace once you get your infrastructure, electric vehicle infrastructure in place nationwide. We have not even scratched the surface, ladies and gentlemen, on these issues. All this can be implemented through this CUP program, and we can launch large-scale solar farm development projects to offset our energy costs at our historically black colleges, because right now that's what our meeting was about at Livingstone, was to look at starting a building a large-scale PV system there for research and development, as well as offsetting their costs, because they do have the land that we could possibly build a 30 or 40 megawatt power plant. That is quite a bit of energy. So some of that energy could be used for manufacturing purposes, because they're going to definitely need, in the traditional, what was called then tobacco belt in North Carolina, industrial hemp is going to be the new cash crop in the United States of America. When Congress passed the recent farm bill, it legalized growing industrial hemp in all 50 states. This country imports $600 million annually from China and Canada. This is what the real noise is about, ladies and gentlemen. If you want to know how 45 has taken care of a lot of them folks that have put him in office, well, get ready, because the big payback has already been passed. Okay? Now, how and is the African American community going to react to this in our institutions? Because we have the land in the state of North Carolina right now. You can register with North Carolina State or North Carolina A&T. They have an upcoming 1 week seminar. If you are interested and you have family that have farmland down there and they want to get into this industrial hemp farming industry, growth industry that's coming, they can get the license for $250 in the state of North Carolina with registering with the Department of Agriculture. Now, I had Mr. Blakely, head of the Industrial Hemp Trade Association, on this show last year. Now, I'm saying all that to say this. We go from the CUP program to industrial hemp to processing facilities. Well, that's what we're talking about. We're talking about using our HBCU campuses and our black farm land owned by black farm families in a mixed-use concept, where if they have an interstate highway running through their property, and you will be traveling on I-95 and 85 and riding right through black folks' property and don't know that the federal government cut the interstate highway right through their land. What does that say? That says right there where you're riding through those woods, you can put a large-scale solar farm. you can build a hemp production extraction facility. You can grow that industrial hemp, and the solar farm can generate $5 to $10 million a year by building the solar farm, because it can be used to power everything else. So you have opportunity to bring in a commercial hotel, place to eat while people are stopping to charge their electric vehicles at your large-scale charging hub, because you're using that energy from the solar farm to power that. This is the concept that we have presented our colleges and universities in a project that my company, the Positive Change Purchasing Cooperative, we have launched this on a national level, and we have now identified realistic 4 projects that can move forward. So we got our hands full in here with what we do at this operation. SolarNet and the future with its economic input is just an outgrowth from the Positive Change Purchasing Cooperative, because these are real, real issues that we need to address, because black folks are getting nothing out of the renewable energy and the energy industry. The American Association of Blacks in Energy, who are getting ready to host their national conference, and I will have next week Mr. Tracy Woods, who's the CEO and operational manager for the American Association of Blacks in Energy, on this platform, talking about their national convention that they're going to be holding in Indianapolis at the end of this month. And things are happening, folks. Things are moving real, real, real fast. Now, it's 11:32 on the AM side of the dial, and we have been talking about a number of issues. One of the issues we talked about was the residential pace, now commercial pace. Now, when you look at this map, it lays out, as I said, in different boxes, active programs. You will see in Florida for commercial, you only have 5 counties, Texas, 1 county, where these active programs. In California, you got approximately about 12 counties. Colorado, 1. Nebraska, 1. Missouri, 4. Arkansas, 1. You can hear these numbers. We're talking about states. Look how many counties exist in the state and all of the opportunity that's there for other jurisdictions to implement. It has to be done through a local ordinance. The local city council can implement a residential pace program within this in their county. It can be passed by the local municipality. Now, you have a launch programs, which is an icon of yellow, our goal. And you, when you begin to look nationwide, you got Utah, Texas, Arkansas, only one program launched, and Virginia, and New Jersey. You're talking about 7 programs have been launched, and these are the numbers where they're launched. Where the programs is in development, you got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Where the program pace is enabled is South Carolina, Tennessee, Mississippi, Louisiana, Kansas, Arkansas. Man, this is where our folks live. West Virginia, Indiana, Maine, Washington, Idaho, North Dakota, South Dakota, Arizona, folks of color. So we need to be about, which I've been about, educating our people about the PACE program. This is a local and national movement. The national website is PACE, P-A-C-E Nation, .us/PACE-programs. Now, let me tell you why this is so important. Tim Sloan, the outgoing CEO of Wells Fargo Bank, was here in Washington, D.C. in January at the 87th winter meeting of the Conference of U.S. Mayors, and he indicated that Wells Fargo Green Initiative had invested $20 billion in the last 5 years already. In the next 10 years, they're going to invest $200 billion in their green initiative. This is in renewable energy infrastructure, folks. This is just one lending institution, one of our major banks. You got Wall Street. You have private, but everybody wants to put their money into commercial. Nobody wants to invest heavily in residential. Well, in the black community, we need both programs operating. So this is something that we need to be beating the drum around for real. I will continue to beat that drum, and especially when you look at the relationships that this program will have with the College Underserved Community Partnership Program. Now, as we were reading from the program objectives, CUP works with to encourage colleges and universities to give students an opportunity to provide a variety of technical support to underserved communities. How can they provide that technical support if they don't have the technical training? If our HBCUs don't offer cybersecurity and IT on a large enough scale and through a certified certificate programs, through the workforce development electrical wiring programs. Now, all of this stuff is online through Capelin University, which is based out of El Paso, Texas, which is affiliated with the North American Board of Electric Practitioners, who creates the certifications and programs and offer these courses. This is owned by the Washington Post newspaper. And they've been doing this and offering this online training for years. So to me, without more of our schools signing up to participate with them because they have not done so and offering these courses through in their classrooms on the physical campuses and providing the classroom oversight, because you have to have someone with their certification in these areas to oversee the classes that are being offered to our young people to get them up to speed. That's not happening, folks. I know that for a fact. This needs to happen. This is why I'm taking the time to let you know what's out there and connecting the dots. Now, at the same time, the program provides valuable practical experience for colleges and university students in the areas of academic study. The work done by schools is provided on a volunteer basis, but the experimental learning opportunities given to students provide two full benefits. Now, if you're training students how to install PV systems, if you're training students how to manufacture solar panels at some of the new multinational Chinese solar manufacturing plants that are popping up in the U.S. as I speak. Now, don't take my word for it. Google J-I-N-K-O solar, and you will find out that they, as well as AtonSolar.com, are building solar manufacturing plants in the United States right now, because 45 put a tariff on aluminum and products coming, solar panels coming in from China and Canada. And let's be real, China leads the world in manufacturing, and nobody's been able to beat their costs yet. So this has been a problem with us being able to get what? A lot of projects that are already financed and on the drawing board, the developers cannot move forward in a timely manner because they don't have the solar panel inventory to complete these large-scale projects. So we need manufacturing here. The bottom line is this is a multi-billion dollar in this growth industry, and we must seize upon this by getting our young people trained in this renewable energy revolution, because it's happening and black folks are being left out because the white companies are not hiring our young folks. Now, this is a fact. It's backed up by Mrs. Abigail Harper, who is head of the Solar Industry Trade Association in Washington, D.C. She said this at the AID conference last year and again in February this year. They're not doing enough to hire our folks. So like the late Reverend Dr. Calvin Rolock said, the only folks going to save us is us. Well, if we don't increase market share for the 30 African-American solar installation development companies, who in the hell gonna hire? Now, I hope I'm connecting some dots and making some sense. And that is what the Positive Change Purchasing Cooperative is about. We've reached out to every solar installation and development company doing business in the United States and asked them to join our cooperative. And we set an agenda around pushing for residential and commercial pace, working with the National African American Mayors Association to make sure in those 500 municipalities where we have African American mayors and large scale African American populations that we get commercial and residential pace programs implemented in those towns and cities and municipalities locally and nationally. Now, this ties right back into this opportunity here. At the same time, the program provides valuable but practical experience for college and university students in their area of academic study. Well, their area of academic study can also be a certification program on renewable energy if it's offered at their university, because these young folks can step right out and go making money. They can get hired. They don't have to leave there with a degree and can't find nothing to do but move back to mama's and daddy's basement. Now, I hope I'm making some sense, because we need these folks like today and tomorrow. They can't train them fast enough, especially if they are competent and know what they're doing. Now, the clock has ticked on me. If I was in my 20s, believe me, I would be getting my certification as a solar PV installer, because I could write my own check and get my electrical wiring certification as an electrician, because then you can write your own ticket, young folk. Now, looking at this, but with experimental learning opportunities given to students provide twofold benefit. It makes their academic work more meaningful, gives them a practical experience that improves their postgraduate work opportunities. For the communities, CUP gives the opportunity a complete with a with larger cities and resources. For the federal government, it helps small communities compete for federal resources, thereby improving the diverse distribution of federal assets. Now, this is a program that marriages the money with the program. They just need, the schools just need a program on how what they're going to do. Green initiatives on how they're going to launch what they're going to do. Whether they're going to build a large-scale solar farm to offset their energy costs, whether they're going to use that for manufacturing purposes, whether they're going to look at research and development in industrial hemp, building processing facilities on those campuses, building charging hub infrastructure near their campuses and on their campuses. These are all opportunities that is here today and moving forward. We didn't say past. We said solar now, the economic import of solar now and the future with its economic impact. I said now and the future. I ain't say nothing about the past. But we can look at the past and we can see, make sure, based on the past, ain't nobody going to save us but us. We going to take a pause for the cause because we've been drilling down on this program and we're going to continue to do that and we're going to be right back on this platform, Solar Now and the Future, with its economic impact on Black America.
Life is a song worth singing. I got to sing it. Life is a song worth singing. Why don't you sing it? You hold a key in the palm of your hand. Use it. Don't blame your life on a master plan. Change it. Only you generate the power to decide what to do with your life. You're a fool if you think you're helpless. You control what you do with your life. Life is a song worth singing. I got you. Sing it.
Welcome, welcome back to the airways of Solar Now and the Future with its economic impact on Black America. And you know if you join us on a regular basis, you know that call-in number is 646-668-2948. Once again, that call-in number is 646-668-2948. And please press 1 on your phone pad after dialing the call-in number. Now, as I was indicating, when we looked at the overview of the Community Underserved Community Partnership Program, they've had partners. And as I indicated, they have 71 schools in 19 states throughout the United States who have engaged in programs competing, completing over 120 different projects. We I have agreements to work with the following organizations. Now, I gave you those organizations, the U.S. Department of Agriculture Nationwide, U.S. Department of Interior Nationwide, U.S. Department of Energy Nationwide, HS Office of Public Health Region 4. In addition, this program, working with relations with the following organizations, U.S. Department of Education, U.S. EPA Regions 3, 4, 5, 6 and 8, Regional Health Administration, Region 6, Thriving Earth Exchange, okay, with the American Geographic Union, Community Engineering Corps, Georgia Municipal Association, Municipal Association of South Carolina, Regional and Coastal Commissions of Georgia. Now, programs, objectives, as I indicated, I basically read that information. As it says, to work to encourage colleges and universities to give students the opportunity to provide a variety of technical support to underserved communities based on communities' identified needs. Assistance enhances the community ability to gain access to resources needed to move the communities forward economically, environmentally, and provide better health outcomes. At the same time, the programs provide valuable practical experience for colleges and university students in their areas of academic study. The work done by the school is provided on a volunteer basis with the experimental learning opportunities, which we just went through. Now, we also have examples. The city of Riverdale, Georgia, is challenged with retaining public safety officers and other safety residing within their boundaries. The address to address this issue, students projected it's assisting the city to develop a program to fund, rehab, and resell of properties to employees as a retention incentive. The project's goals included identifying, assessing, cataloging, and the qualitative and conditions of abandoned hazardous material, including lead and asbestos. The project has also served as a pilot to use for federal work-study funds to provide stipends for students enhancing their post-graduation opportunities. Federal work-study funds are now encouraged to be used to support participation by students who previously were financially unable to participate in the CUP program, opening participation by the thousands of more students. Now, this is where people need to be raising hell up with Congress and 45 about putting more money in these kind of programs. Development partnership between San Juan College, Farmington, New Mexico, and Drexel University, Philadelphia, PA, to develop a maker space for San Juan to spur entrepreneurial opportunities and economic development in Farmington, New Mexico, which has one of the highest unemployment rates in the United States, in addition to develop a partnership with the American Geographic Union, Thriving Earth Exchange, TEX, and San Juan College in New Mexico, develop a curriculum to educate students in alternative energy, which will be incorporated in design of a maker space. Complete projects has re-energized the city of Farmington, and hundreds of thousands of dollars have been raised to equip the space for future use. Students from Georgia State University identify. I'm looking for some HBCUs, y'all. I'm sorry if I sound biased, but I don't see any HBCUs participating in this program. I have a problem with that. I hope that you have a problem with that. If your pew looks the same way I look when I look in the mirror. So this is an issue for real. For real. Now, I have someone trying to reach me as I'm speaking on my show, but I will be calling them back after our show is over today because you're calling me and I'm in the middle of my show. So I guess that's self-explanatory. All right? Now, as we look, they also develop cybersecurity training as part of the city's operational orientational process for new employees. New employees will be orientated in cybersecurity threats, malware, detecting viruses, and how to seek help. Policies and training methods developed by GSU students are being adopted and implemented in various cities and counties throughout the state of Georgia. Fathom Island, East Point, it directed to the state by the city of the East Coast Point benefited greatly from their work. Now, these are great programs, but who knew? As a little boy said, who knew? And this is the problem with the government program. They got great programs, but who knew in the black community? It's called Ebonics. Y'all, did you get it? Ebonics. Who knew about these programs? If you're not listening to Solar Now and the Future with its economic impact on black America, ain't nobody talking about this. We talking about everything else other than the nuts and bolts of the economic structure on how this money is flowing into the economy across communities across this nation. And if we're not on board with this, everything else is just talk. Because believe me, money talk and other stuff don't hop. It don't even walk, y'all. And I got that conversation was made very, very clear to me by Dr. Alexander at Livingstone last week. And they have to change their curriculums to meet these demands without question. So this is a very, very important program, folks, that I'm talking about. We're gonna shift gears because I think that we have spent a lot of time talking about this program. I think it is a great program, the College Underserved Community Partnership Program. And I talked about the PACE program, which is a national financing entity that will marry perfectly with this program if our schools come up with programs and in for renewable energy, green initiatives, solar. They need large-scale solar, building of large-scale solar farms to offset their energy costs on those campuses. They need also to be about the research and development aspect of the solar industry in terms of the manufacturing on that piece, as well as looking at how industrial hemp and the role energy will play in that arena, because our schools can be a major, they can be change agents in this arena, but they have to be about it. You can take them horse to water, a mule to water, my grandmama used to say, but you can't make him drink. But believe me, we are out here trying to get this information in front of our folk. And we do what we do. We don't talk it. We walk it here on this platform, Solar Now and the Future, with its economic impact on black America. And we are broadcasting over the World Wide Web, over Blog Talk Radio streaming, over Facebook and Twitter, and we will be uploading very soon on YouTube. But folks, y'all got to give me some help because I've got to get some real financing in here to do some equipment upgrades. And as we've always said on this show, freedom ain't free, y'all. So if you think that we got paid to travel down there at our own expense, we didn't. So that's the cost of doing business. I get it. But there's also a cost of bringing this information to you, and I hope you get it. So, as I've indicated in the past, we're still having problems with getting our web designer to relink our GoFundMe link, but I'm going to work on that piece right now because I need that link up and working, because I need you going to our website and bringing some support to this platform. Solar Now and the Future with its economic impact on black America. And as I said, we're going to take another pause for the cause, and we're going to switch gears as soon as we come back after we take another short.
Life is a song worth singing.
I do too.
Sing it. Life is a song worth singing.
Why don't you
sing it? You hold a key in the palm of your hand.
Use it.
Don't blame your life on a master plan. Change it. Only you generate the power to decide what to do with your life. You're a fool if you think you're helpless. You control what you do with your life. Life is a song worth singing.
Why don't you
sing it?
Welcome, welcome back to the airways of Solar Now and the Future with its economic impact on Black America. And I'm your host, Ronald Buffet. And you know our calling number is 646-668-2948. Once again, that calling number is 646-668-2948. Please remember to press 1 on your phone pad after dialing the call-in number. Now, we, as I indicated, would be switching gears. So we're going to be talking about now in this next segment, because it's the top of the hour, we're going to be talking about our news and events tab. And under our news and events tab, we're going to be talking about the 2000, briefly about an event that's taking place this evening. Matter of fact, the 2019 District Sustainability Awards, which will be held at 225 7th Street Southeast at the Eastern Market, North Washington Mall. And it'll be take place between the hour of 5:30 and 7:30. Now, this is something that's been put on by the Department of Energy and Environment. I'm going to try to make it. I don't know. I've got a pretty tight schedule this afternoon. But the description, it says, you are cordially invited to the 2019 District Sustainability Awards. Join Director Tommy Wells to honor this year's District Sustainability Award winners, which include local nonprofit and educational organizations and private sector businesses, and an award for the People's Choice. This year, the city will also recognize the first winner of the Clean Energy Award. District Sustainability Award winners support the Sustainable DC Plan goals in the area of energy and water conservation, green building construction, health food areas, access, solar energy production, triple bottom line programs, stormwater management, and sustainable waste management. This event is free and open to the public, but registration is required. Now, I may make that and I may not, because my daughter is coming in town from North Carolina, and I've got to help her unload a because she was moving. So I won't even start that conversation, because if I did my trip into South Carolina, back into the middle of North Carolina, Salisbury, I came back to Greensboro, and my daughter put me to work. She worked me like a Hebrew slave, and I'm talking about literally. So at my age, my young folks, I mean, y'all need to get busy. But anyway, it is what it is. So this is something that's going to be offered this evening to the Washington, D.C. community. And if you're in the DMV market area, it starts at 5:30. And once again, it's going to be held at the Eastern Marketplace. And that address to that event, once again, let me check that. It's 225 7th Street. Yes, 225 7th Street. Southeast Washington, D.C., at 5:30 p.m. to 7:30. And if you have questions that require a sign language interpreter, well, you don't need a phone number if you're interested in going, but I'll give out their phone number anyway. It's to Miss Lynn, L-Y-N-N, Wilher, W-I-L-H-E-R-E, 202-535-1939. Once again, that telephone number is 202-535-1939. If you might have any questions about this 2019 District Sustainability Awards program that DEO is putting on this afternoon here in Washington, D.C. If you're here in the DMV area and you think it's something you might want to participate in, well, that's the information. Now, we're going to step right on because we got some other things we want to talk about. Now, we want to talk about, and you can find all this information up on our website at positivechangepc.com. That's positivechange, P as in Paul, C as in cat.com. Please click on our news and events tab, scroll down, and you'll find the links and you'll see the captions. Okay, tell Congress to extend the federal EV tax credit. And I wanted to definitely get to this and talk about this because we're going to be getting in some in-depth about being that for those who have Christian faith, we're going to be talking about the black church and what does renewable energy really mean to the black community. We're going to get into that in our next closing segment. Now, tell Congress to extend the federal tax credit. Now, this is Plug In America. This is published today. And take actions to extend the federal tax credit. Tell your representatives and senators to support the Driving America Forward Act. This is legislation that is in front of Congress right now. Finally, we have bipartisanship. You do in Washington, D.C. Well, good luck. I heard that word of bipartisan being used. I didn't know that existed here in the swamp. The 45 said he was going to drain. But anyhow, bipartisanship legislation is in Congress that supports extending the federal electric vehicle tax credit to work for more drivers for a longer period of time. The current tax credit is capped at 200,000 vehicles per automaker, with Tesla and GM having already hit that cap. Folks, as I said, these electric vehicles are coming on the street without question. I'm not making this up. I'm reading this article as what is already on the street and what is projected that they want on the street by year 2030. In the next 10 years, they want to put about 25 to 30 million electric vehicles on U.S. streets. Now, the Driving America Act introduced today would raise the cap to 600,000 vehicles per automaker. Legislation is sponsored by Republicans and Democrats and has the support of the auto industry and a number of the key stakeholders. I know damn well they're supporting this. Yeah, they're supporting it. Well, how are they supporting the manufacturers and automakers putting some money in the infrastructure, some skin in the game, rather than that just being passed on to us folks who are going to help pay for this, whether we ride, walk, or ride a tricycle? Because you're going to pay for this whether you drive or not. Don't get it twisted. You got a gas, water, and electric bill. You're going to help pay for this. Now, I've already gone into time and time and time on this show about how that works. Okay? But let's look at this article. The extension of the vehicle cap will allow customers to purchase the cars they want as the market continues to grow and mature. But we need your help to get more co-sponsors on the bill and to show the Senate House leadership there is a strong support to pass this act. Taking action now to support extending the EV tax credit for all American drivers. Thank you. Please share the action alert widely. Now, this is what I get in my box. They got your name and your information, and you can go online if you want to go to my website at Positive Change, Positive, P-O-S-I-T-I-V-E, Change, C-H-A-N-G-E, P as in Paul, C as in Cat, .com. Click on News and Events. You can go down and you can register your and send your communication to Congress saying that you want to see this federal tax credit extended. I don't have a problem with this because black folk, we ain't even scratched the surface. First, we ain't got the money to buy no electric cars. And the few people that do have them, you understand, we weren't first out the box. You know, the European folk jumped on this off the break because these discounts are deep discounts. Plus, some of the automobile manufacturers made other credits available, like Nissan had a $5,000 credit that wasn't available for D.C. residents, but and they had worked that out. Pepco, I didn't understand that when I bought that one up on this platform and talked about it, went to the People's Council. Nobody ever done anything about it, but they acknowledged the fact that I did catch it. They didn't even make it available to D.C. residents and Virginia residents, and the dealership was in Virginia. And I know that the District of Columbia electrical services are provided by Pepco. So like I said, man, this is a lot of back and forth with what the manufacturers come out. They come out with promotions and then don't nobody know nothing about it. I get the information, put it out there, and then need some follow-up, can't get nobody to follow up and do nothing. Because I think folks who don't look like me think that folks who look like me, that our business is their business. This business is not our business, even though it's affecting us. They call it, they used to say in the old days, they said white folks, this white folks' business. No, this just ain't white folks' business. This black, orange, green, purple dot color business. Because everybody is helping to pay for this climate change infrastructure. That's what we're talking about. All our tax dollars is paying for it. So for some folks to take the attitude that they God sent and they know all and everything should be done based on them setting the premise and setting a stage for everything, we need to set our own stages, black folk, and have our own demands because this is ridiculous. Where we're caught in this economics of this game. This is a catch 54. This ain't no 22. This is a catch 54. And we passed 45. And I thought you couldn't get no more ignorant than that. But it is what it is. I can't make this up. I'm just reading what the deal is. I can't make this up. Everybody got something to say. But anyhow, I just provided that information for you. That's another segment of our News and Events tab, and I hope that we definitely brought you some news that you can definitely use. But now we're getting ready to kick on Earth Day Toolkit. What Earth Day means to the black church. Now, we're going to get into that the next 15, 16 minutes before we close this joint out for the day. Okay? So you definitely want to come back and check us out on this one because we're going to do what we do on solar now and the future with its economic impact on black America. And as I say, every week, we try to bring you news that you can definitely use on this platform.
I hear the song we're singing.
I do too.
Sing it. Life is a song we're singing. what's singing.
Why don't you
sing it? You hold a key in the palm of your hand.
Use it.
Don't blame your life on a master plan.
Change it.
Only you generate the power to decide what to do with your life. You're a fool if you think you're helpless. You control what you do with your life. Life is a song worth singing.
Welcome, welcome back to the airways of Solar Now and the Future with its economic impact on Black America. And I'm your host, Ronald Buffet. And you know, if you join us on a regular basis, that call-in number is 646-668-2948. Once again, that call-in number is 646-668-2948. Now, right before we took that, as we call, said, pause from the calls, I received an email from the Green Church Initiative. Now, this is the program. Reverend Benjamin Carroll is the co-founder of Carroll Ministries internationally and pastor of the Greater Antioch Missionary Baptist Church in West Palm Beach, Florida. Reverend Carroll also serves as president of the Florida East Coast Baptist Association Northern Union. Reverend Carroll is also an active duty major serving as chaplain in the U.S. Army. Reverend Ben Carroll, Green Church and Ministries International. Earth Day is only a few days away. And the select theme of this year is protect our spices. It is important to protect the migrating Montreal butterfly or the Florida Montee. But we must also be mindful of the plight of people of color who too are often left unprotected against the onslaught of community neglect and community decay. As we look forward to Earth Day, let's take this opportunity to make sure we expose ourselves to the broad initiatives of what this important day means, particularly to people of color. Animals and insects play an important role in creating balance in our ecosystem. Neglecting them would mean devastation in areas often known to those who are not directly impacted. More importantly, these of the human species, Homo species, specifically those skin has been kissed by nature's sun, are on the verge of extinction due to poor living conditions, polluted air, lack of adequate food water resources, and toxic drinking water being pumped through the inner city water systems. It's time for the Black Church to stand up and begin to invest time and resources in launching a collective responsibility to ensure our congregations take our place in protecting the human species. We are charged with African American Church to do in part by helping to mobilize local churches and surrounding churches to observe Earth Day, April 22nd, 2019, and get involved with Earth Day Advocates Initiative. Resurrection Sunday is April 21st, and the day we celebrate our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ's resurrection and victory. This is also the day we can celebrate God in all creations by thanking Him for the precious gifts of creation and all that dwell within. We encourage our congregation to go above and beyond and make our Earth Day service a moving gospel and inspiration. Now, I get all of those words. I will send a letter. But what does that really mean? I look at the condition of the physical campus as we entered into Livingstone last Thursday, as I went on travel working on these projects with a client of mine, Mr. Richard Corley, and we traveled down to First Chester, South Carolina, met with city officials there, gained knowledge and information on the project that we were taking down there. We found out there were several other projects that they were interested in us looking at, which was a blessing. We intend to follow through on that. But in looking at the black church, in all of these fabulous words, with as much money as goes through the banks that black churches deposit in these white banks every week, and to look at the condition of Livingstone's physical structure is a disgrace to the human race. And I'm not putting Livingstone down, because all our HBCUs, our private church schools, are suffering, ladies and gentlemen. That's no joke. This is real talk. We went down there to talk to them of how we can come up with some creative, real ways of generating real wealth for those streams of income for those schools through building large-scale solar arrays on rooftops as well as on their physical land mass, because they have the land to build a 14 to 50 megawatt solar farm. And that's a tremendous amount of energy. And that brings in a tremendous amount of income annually and will open a tremendous amount of doors with the right program. And I think we have put together the correct program. So I wanted to make sure that our listening audience understands all of this stuff with hooking up with these organizations and these white folks talking about we going to save the earth. If these people ain't committed to putting some resources targeted specifically for workforce development at our HBCUs through summer intern programs, certification programs, working in conjunction with our local solar development companies, and specific those African American companies that can help set up these workforce development training programs, we got to take this conversation to a whole different level, because we in trouble, people. I got the mic. As I said, I don't care how great a program is, if don't nobody know nothing about it, it doesn't matter. And that seems to be the situation with a lot of our institutions. And when they find out about these programs, they don't have the staffing and the people to implement going after the money and the grants to get the money. This is incredible. But we graduating folks every day with degrees, there ain't nothing they can do with them. We have to change the paradigm. Cybersecurity, IT, drone technology, PV, solar installations, electrical wiring technicians. All of these are growth industries. Our schools should be providing these certifications with the North American Board of Electric Practitioners. All this information has been sitting on this website for almost 3 years. And when people talk to me, they're talking about, oh, you need a plan, you need an idea. I said, well, have you been to my website? Have you read what our mission statement is? Hell, nobody wants to read. But before you talk to me, please read. Because we've already laid out a map, a game plan. We are working with that. We understand that you start a business plan, you tweak the business plan, you work the business plan, because things are in constant motion. It's called life. Change is inevitable. We want to thank those who joined us for another episode of this show. But I want people to know before we go off the airwaves that this show is brought to you every week by the Positive Change Purchasing Cooperative. And you know, if you join us on a regular basis, you know the slogan for this show: if it's power in numbers, then the Positive Change Purchasing Cooperative captures that power for your financial benefit. The Positive Change Purchasing Cooperative is an LLC, is a blueprint for economic self-reliance and renewable energy companies, both large and small, along with to market share for African-American solar installation and development companies to address the effects of high energy costs at our historic black colleges and universities, to utilize black American-owned farmlands, HBU campuses, and develop capacity and initiative for solar installation projects to bring down the unemployment and the unemployment of our young African-American men and women, to educate the black community locally and nationally about the economic impacts of climate change and the need for environmental education in the black community through Black Talk Radio's programs such as Solar Now and the Future with its economic impact on black America. It's also brought to you by the Black Sports Legends Foundation, HBCU Solar Radio Talk Show Initiative. Also by Sutton Communications Network, specializing in the following areas: public relations, writing, editing, web development, web editing, magazine production, online and traditional, newspaper production, online and traditional, speech writing, book writing, editing and publishing, and speaker bureau management. And for contact information, that's SCOTTON, Scott and Communications Network.com. That's SCOTTON Network.com. And as I always say, everybody can talk it, but everybody ain't walking it. We walking and talking on this show. Now, we've got to do some things, such as in terms of getting this website, we got to do some upgrades and things we got to do. But folks, we definitely need some support in here. So like I said, I will be getting that taken care of if I can't get nothing else taken care of, because I need to have that link back up to my site so I can receive donations. So that will get done. So I want to thank you, those who join us on a regular basis and those who just joined us. Just keep coming back, because like I said, we offer news that we know that you can definitely use on this program, Solar Now and the Future.
Life is a song worth singing. I can sing it. Life is a song worth singing. Why don't you sing it? You hold a key in the palm of your hand. Use it. Don't blame your life on a master plan. Only you generate the power to decide what to do with your life. You're a fool if you think you're helpless. You control what you do with your life.
song was singing.